Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis this morning, chapter number 22. Genesis chapter 22. Beautiful, beautiful story and passage of Scripture. Probably very familiar passage of Scripture. But I may look at it in a little bit of an unfamiliar way. At least it is to me. I just know that the Lord has magnified this in my heart and in my life in these recent days. And I want to share with you what He has shared with me. I'll be honest with you this morning. And I hope you know this. But if He doesn't share it with me, I don't have anything to share with you. So I appreciate my Heavenly Father. I really do. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." I'm sure that most of you already know this, but this is not, the Bible talked about God tempts no man with evil. But the word tempt here is used in the way you would talk about a test or a trial. And let me say this, God will test His children's faith. That doesn't make God a bad God. God is a good God. He can't do anything but good for His children. And you say, well, He chastened me. Well, that was good for you. I may not have understood it at the time, but chastening's good for us as His children. Amen. Here the Bible said God did tempt Abraham, and He said unto him, Abraham said, "Behold, here I am. In verse 2 He said, "And He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." I don't know about you, but I would think in Abraham's heart at least and in his mind, a lot went on between verse 2 and verse 3, Brother Steve. Yeah. Verse 3 said, "Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he laid the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there. Tell you something about Abraham, he was good at building altars. And he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now we're reading the Bible, and I just want you to think about what might be going through Isaac's mind right now. What might be going through Isaac's thought processes and his heart right now. He's bound, he's laid upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." You see, Abraham passed the test, didn't he? How that must please the father when his youngins passed the test. The trial of our faith, the Bible said, being much more precious than gold. The Bible said in verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you blessed this morning? Do you know you fit right there in that verse this morning? So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. I want to leave off the reading right there and back up for just a moment, then we'll pray. Look in verse number, I believe it is 3. The Bible said here, not verse number 3, it's verse number 5, I'm sorry. "And Abraham said unto his," what's those next two words right there? "Young men." And the Bible said over here in, I guess it was verse 19, "So Abraham returned unto his," what's those next two words right there? "Young men." I want to preach for a little while this morning, and a lot of what I'm going to say this morning is just trying to read in, not add to the Bible, but just read in, and I think in a reasonable way, what's going on in these two young men's lives. I've preached this chapter and magnified Abraham, magnified the God of Abraham, and magnified Isaac. But never in my life have I or have I heard someone talk about these two young men that are in this chapter. And I'd like to do that this morning. And I believe God will help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here today and read the Bible. Lord, I pray today you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, you know today what we need even before we ask. But God, you said to ask. I pray, Lord, today that you would just help us as a people to determine, like Abraham did, to serve you till we leave this world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There are five things I want to notice about these young men this morning. And I pray that the Lord will just help us that God will just help us to see something here that will be a blessing in our heart and in our life. The first thing I want to notice about these young men is the company that they kept. These young men are in good company. When you're hanging around with Abraham, honey, you're in good company. I believe one of the things that's wrong in our world today is many times young people have the wrong heroes. They have heroes from Hollywood and heroes from a sports field, whether it be a basketball court or a football field or a ball diamond. And I'm not against rooting for your team. I'm not against that at all. What I am against is somebody telling you the score when you was going to go home and watch it, amen, and find out for yourself. I am against that. That was for a young man to my right, amen. Notice the company that they kept. I said this to the men in the prison often, and I believe it's true. The crowd you run with will determine the course that your life takes. I believe these young men, Brother Steve, in this chapter are on a good course. I believe they're on a good path. And I believe before I get through preaching, you'll understand that too. That's my prayer, amen, that you'll understand that as well. You say, preacher, what do you mean in good company with Abraham? Well, Abraham, let me give you three things quickly. He was a man that trusted God. The Bible said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, notice that word, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, my friend, listen, it's not faith to do something when you already know the outcome, but it's faith to step out there with God, not knowing what God's going to do, but just knowing God's leading the way. That's what faith is, knowing that the Lord is leading the way. The Bible said Abraham believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. So his company, their company, is a man called Abraham, his son Isaac, and he's a man that trusted God. The second thing, he's a man that talked with God. The Bible said by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. You say, preacher, what is it that kept Abraham realizing that this world was not his home, that it kept him looking for a city with half foundations whose builder and maker is God? What is it that kept him? He started by faith. What is it? He left Ur of the Chaldee by faith. He left by faith. He's journeying by faith. What is it that kept him going on by faith? I tell you what it was an altar and a talk with God, a relationship with the God of heaven. And my friend, he had a walk with God that was like none other. Amen. He sojourned in the land of promise. And then let me give you this. Abraham not only trusted God. This is the company that these two young men are keeping. Abraham, a man that trusted God. A man that talked with God. But Abraham was a man that was in tune with God. I'm going to tell you something right now. A guitar is a beautiful thing if it's in tune. And if it's out of tune, it's ugly. A piano is a beautiful thing if it's in tune. If it's out of tune, it's ugly. A church is a beautiful thing if it's in tune. But I tell you, you let it get out of tune, honey, and it's ugly, amen. It's ugly. Here was a man that was in tune with God. The Bible said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off, were persuaded them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You say, preacher, what gets people out of tune with God? I tell you what gets them out of tune with God, when they get in tune with this world. He's confessing he's a pilgrim down here. He's a stranger down here. I don't need to dig my footers deep. A tent will be just fine because I'm moving before long. Going home. Abraham was a man of faith, a man in tune with God. Truly, they might have been mindful of that country from whence they come out. They might have had an opportunity to return. He didn't have his mind full of Ur of the Chaldees. He had his mind full of God and the city that God had prepared for them that love him. The Bible said here, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city. The tale of two young men. The first thing I want to notice is the company that these two young men kept. The second thing I want to notice is the conversation that these two young men had. You say, preacher, what do you mean, the conversation? Well, I'll give you a couple of things right here, and I don't know what you would call this. I'm just trying to be led of the Lord, but I just can't help but think that as Abraham tells them to abide here by the ass. I can't help but think, I don't believe they just stood there like statues waiting on Abraham and Isaac to come back. I believe they talked to one another. I believe they had a conversation with one another. Would that be reasonable to think that? And let me give you some things that the Lord spoke to my heart about that they might be talking about. Number one, they might be talking about the son. That might be talking about Isaac. What do you mean? Well, the Bible said in Genesis 21:1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. By the way, he always does. He always does what he says. What he speaks, he always carries out. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram's son in an old age in the set time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old, and his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so all that hear will laugh with me. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, I believe it was common knowledge around Abraham that he was an old man and that God had done a miracle in that old man's life and that God had done a miracle in that old woman's life. I believe as they stood around, as Abraham and Isaac took off to go up the mountain, they're going to travel on for 3 days. Abraham can see it. He leaves them there. I believe there's a conversation going on about the son. And they're thinking, you know, this is the son of promise. This is the one God promised. This is a miracle child. Let me tell you something. Every born again child of God is a miracle child. Amen. Spiritually born. But here in the Bible, I'm just thinking about what their conversation might have entailed. But not only that, please go with me in your mind's eye for just a minute. I don't preach like this very often. Most of the time, I don't know that I ever have really. But most of the time, I mean, I'm just looking right at the Bible, right at the Bible, right at the Bible. But I'm trying to think about two young men. What might I be talking about? I believe they'd be talking about the son. But the second thing I believe they might be talking about is the sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. When they took off, these men had been with Abraham. And when they took off to go do a burnt offering, and Isaac noticed, Dad, we've got fire. And we've got wood. Where's the lamb? Brother Joe, I just happen to believe that those two young men might have been standing there talking about, you know, they took the fire with them. And they took the wood with them. But they didn't take a lamb with them. I don't know what's going on here, but I believe there's a conversation going on. Wonder what Abraham's doing. I wonder what's going to happen up on that mountain. I wonder where they'll get the sacrifice from. After all, one of them said, well, Abraham did say, him and the lads going yonder to worship. But he said something else. He said they'll return again. So I don't know what God's going to do, but he must be going to do something special up on that mountain. And I believe with all of my heart, as we look at that conversation, we ought to notice that there's a my friend, a conversation concerning the sacrifice. Where is the lamb? Number three, I noticed the company the young men kept. The conversation the young men had. I want you to notice the choice the young men made. I do have Bible strictly for this. He said, preacher, what do you mean the choice that they made? When Abraham came back, they were where Abraham told them to be, doing what Abraham told them to do. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus comes back, will you be where Jesus told you to be, doing what Jesus told you to do? You say, preacher, what do you mean? The young men, I want you to notice the choice the young men made. They chose to stay by the asses, which would seemingly be a small thing. But let me tell you this, you'll never be faithful in big things, young men, until you begin to be faithful in the little things. You say, well, preacher, they might have just tied him up, caught somebody else, said, y'all watch him till Abraham. No, no, no. That's not what the Bible said. They made a choice to be obedient. And by the way, that's a great choice. There was no argument. Let me give you this. Their names are not mentioned. Think about that for just a moment. Just two young men. I believe it's sad. But I believe there's a lot of people that will never do much for God because their name's never mentioned. That's sad. That's sad. I mean that. I know this, and I don't say this boastfully, but I do what I do not because my name's on a sign somewhere or my name's on an internet site somewhere associated with the church. Honey, my name's written in heaven. And I do what I do because my name is written in heaven. And because one day I'm going to stand before the judge of this world and give an account for the deeds done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Oh, beloved friend, their names are not mentioned. God knows their names. Have you believed that? God knew the two young men that would stay there and do that little thing that maybe some would say, well, that's not very important at all. But God knew. Obedience is important. The Bible said to obey is better than sacrifice. If you don't believe obedience is important, ask Saul. When Samuel faced him and said, what is this lowing? Oh, well, we just decided we'd save some of the best cattle for sacrifice. In so many words in East Tennessee vernacular, my friend Samuel said, hogwash, that ain't going to work. God told you to destroy it all. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. The choice that the young men made, he recorded the incident in his word for us to read, even in the generations to follow. Two young men. We see the company these young men kept. We see the conversation the young men had. We see a choice that the young men made. I want to give you this. I believe there's a conclusion that the young men came to. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said in chapter 22 and verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. If you look that up, it means the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I'll bless thee and multiply and I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Honey, listen. Abraham was obedient, and his servants, his young men, were obedient to him. And God is fixing to bless in a special way. You say, preacher, what did they conclude out of all of this? They concluded that obedience brings blessing. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Beloved, there was a blessing upon Abraham. There was a blessing upon all the nations. There was a blessing upon Isaac. I wonder if these young men weren't around a little bit later when Abraham tells his servant, I want you, listen, to go fetch a bride for my son. I wonder if they weren't around when they saw Rebecca ride into town. I wonder if they weren't saying, I want you to look, buddy. Oh, Isaac's been blessed by the God of heaven. They learned and concluded that obedience brings blessings. How important it is. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Don't question it. Don't delay. Do it. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Do it for the glory of God. I see there was a blessing upon Abraham. They concluded that obedience brings blessing. There's a blessing upon Abraham, a blessing upon all the nations, a blessing upon Isaac. But I believe there was a blessing upon these two young men. For what, perhaps one day they looked at each other and one of them said, you know what, God is good. Maybe the other one looked back and said, he sure is all the time. Maybe they would say, as they were talking, one of them said to the other, man, we've got plenty to eat. We've got plenty to wear. We've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. God's been good to us. Let's just keep hanging around Abraham and the blessings of God. They concluded that there was a blessing associated with obedience. They concluded that they had a Savior that was worthy of trusting. I read this where Edward VI, the King of England, in the 16th century, he attended a worship service. He stood while the Word of God was read. He took notes during this time and later studied them with great care. Through the week, he earnestly tried to apply them to his life. That's the kind of serious-minded response to truth the Apostle James calls for in the Scripture. A single revealed fact, cherished in the heart and acted upon, is more vital to our growth than a head filled with lofty ideas about God. One step forward in obedience is worth years of studying about it. God wants us to be obedient, children. And I believe these two young men concluded obedience brings blessings. And I believe with all of my heart they were glad that they minded Abraham and in so doing minded the Lord. Let me give you one more thing and I'm done. The tale of two young men, the company they kept, the conversation they had. We see here the choice that they made. By the way, choices we make will go with us to the grave. Amen. And then the conclusion that the young men came to. But I want to give you this. And again, I'm thinking about these two young men. I want to call this last thing in the message the candle that these two young men carried. What do you mean, preacher? A candle is that that gives off light. The Bible said a man doesn't take a candle and put it under a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestick that it may give light. I believe these two young men, listen to me carefully, I believe they were a light for the glory of God. I wonder how many times these young men told the story of that day. I wonder how many people that they told. We went with Abraham and Isaac. Let me ask you a question. Just let your mind wander just a minute. Abraham and Isaac meet up with the two young men. Is it reasonable at all to think that those two young men didn't hear Isaac say something like this? Boys, you ain't going to believe what happened on that mountain. I'm telling you, boys, I believe it'd be reasonable, Brother Gary, for him to say something like, I scared to death. Abraham tied me up. Daddy tied me up. He laid me up. I know what happens when you lay a sacrifice up on that wood. I believe it would be reasonable to think that he shared something with those two young men. Said, boys, you ain't going to believe it. But Daddy reached over and he grabbed that knife and he raised it up. And I just knew it was over. And about that time, boys, there was a voice from heaven. Is it not reasonable to think that Isaac would have shared with those two young men what he had just experienced on that mountain? Now let me ask you this. Is it reasonable, glory to God, is it reasonable to believe that Isaac may have shared that with them and that they didn't share it with anybody else? If you heard a story like that, Brother Ralph, would you go tell somebody else? I mean, I just read it in the Bible and I want to tell somebody else that story. So I believe Isaac probably had many conversations with those young men. He said, boys, we heard a voice. About that time, you ain't going to believe it, but there was a ram caught by his horns over there in that thicket. And that ram took my glory to God. That ram took my place. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you in the tale of two young men, I'm ending up here that these two young men had a candle that they carried. They had a light that went out around them as they went through this walk of life. They had a story to tell. I've never been up on Mount Hebron, but I've been to Mount Calvary. And I got a story to tell. I carried a mess up there. But Jesus forgave me. Jesus, His blood that was shed on that old rugged cross, made it possible for me to be forgiven. Made it possible for me to leave this earth and go to heaven. Made it possible, beloved friend, listen, for me to have the kind of friends and the kind of fellowship that I have in this walk of life with God's dear people. I believe that it would be completely reasonable to think that these men that experienced these things and heard these things did not keep them to themselves, but shared them with others along the way. Should not we that have experienced the blessings of Mount Calvary, should we not come down from the mountain talking and telling the old story of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love? The songwriter said, I love to tell the story. Another songwriter said, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest I ever have heard. Doesn't happen too often. But every once in a while, I'll run into somebody that's not heard the story. And you get to telling them about our condition, that we're all sinners. You get to telling them about the payment that we owe, that because of our condition, we're doomed to a devil's hell. You get to telling them about that, and they begin to get that look of concern on their face, and you get to look at them and say, what I'm fixing to tell you, it's the best news you'll ever hear in this world. Somebody loved you enough to take your place. You deserve to die. You deserve to die without God. You deserve to bust hell wide open. But there's one called Jesus that went to Calvary and took your place and took my place. Beloved friend, I believe these two men had a candle. I believe they carried it well. I believe it was something when you see people gathered around and say, you know, we had no idea when we left what we were doing. We just went with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham said, here, boys, right here. Y'all stay right here. I and the lad are going to go on from here. Now, we got to go yonder and worship, but we'll come again. I could just hear those boys telling that story over and over. Let me tell you what's happened to America. The story's gotten old. Many of God's people haven't told the story in a long time. If there's no other reason to be a witness, it ought to be because that means we're obedient. But if there's no other reason to be a witness just besides obedience, it ought to be because it'll warm your heart. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Let me do this. Let me just dare you today to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. If you can do that with a cold heart, shame on you. I don't believe you can. If He's really done something for you, you begin to tell it, honey, your heart will warm up. Worship will warm up. Amen. You'll want to serve Him. Somebody else will be interested in that old story. These two men carried a candle as they went through this walk of life. I've preached this morning on the tale of two young men. I don't believe it's unreasonable. If you believe I've been unreasonable in any area, that's okay. But I believe it's reasonable to believe that God had a reason. Brother Grizzle, to tell us that there was two young men that stayed by the asses that day. He had a reason. God knew there was young men in every generation that needs to learn the truth that obedience brings blessings, that choices have consequences. And God knew that you and I could be blessed. Just to think we have one more opportunity to tell the story of Jesus. One more opportunity. I saw a man in ICU yesterday. I guess what he's got in is a trach. I believe that would be right, Miss Eve. He can't speak. Miss Eve and his wife read his lips for me and would tell me what he was saying. I'll be going back. I didn't get to tell him the story yesterday. He knows we care about him now. He didn't feel well. He had surgery the day before. He's been in ICU for 3 weeks or better. But I want to tell him the story. When I asked him if he knew Jesus, he said, "We've had some conversations." He didn't say it out loud. They told me. I can't wait to talk to him again. I can't wait just to tell him the whole story. I'm praying God will give him strength. God will raise him up. That God will let him talk to me, Brother Steve, or we can talk back and forth. You say, "Brother, what do you mean?" All I mean is, God give me a light. God being my helper, I don't want to put it under a bushel. I want to let it shine. And I believe these two young men are still shining today. Because God just wrote it down there in the Bible. Three times, I believe, in this chapter. May God help us to glean something. Would help us to want to be as faithful as Abraham was, as Isaac was. These two young men, we don't even know their names, but as faithful as they were to that chore that God gave them to do. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for the word of the living God. Thank you, Lord, today for taking our place on Mount Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that every once in a while our faith is tested. Lord, I'd much rather have my faith tested here than I would to get there and realize that I had something that wasn't real. Lord, I thank you for the Bible. Thank you for Abraham and Isaac. And thank you, Lord, for these young men we've spoken about today. God, I just pray now that, Lord, the young men that are in the sound of our hearing make wise choices. Lord, would carry the candle, not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. God, it's in my heart to ask you right now to call some young man to preach the gospel. Lord, I believe you can do that, and I believe you will. Lord, do you put that in my heart? I pray, Lord, you'll speak to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, along this journey to let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Lord, I ask you today in the name of Jesus, take the message. May it find a lodging place in our hearts and in our lives. And may we, Lord, be used for your honor and for your glory.